All right, guys, welcome back. Radio Free Brooklyn here at Stroll Show with the C and the Flow. The C, oh, we always get that going, a little reggae going on there. But we got Paul's away this week. He's in Europe playing with his band, so I brought on some heavy hitters today to come join us on the show. I got my friend Matt here.
Yep, how's it going? Great to be here.
Thank you. And we also got a new show in training. We have Ryan here as well. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we had a lovely day here.
Nice day out.
Yeah, okay, let me continue on here. We have the band Baggage coming on, calling in. Previously, the band The Swellers out of Flint, Michigan. So he's calling in. He's excited. And now we are excited as well.
Yes, we are. Good band. Ready to talk to them, find out more information.
Exactly. Now, here's the thing. Now, usually when Paul and I do the interviews, we our homework is done at a minimum, right? We don't do too much. We do the research. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we could do more. So now, talking to Matt, because we went out for Cinco de Mayo on Friday night.
Oh, yeah.
Matt already had questions prepared and like all his research done, yeah. And I was like, "Shoot!" I was like, "I gotta copy that. I gotta go in there. Yeah, I gotta see what Matt's doing."
Yeah.
So Matt, I commend your work. I commend.
Thank you.
The research aspect. So that made me. That actually forced me to then go do some more research.
Give
myself.
You a little bit of inspiration.
Yeah. So what do you think? What are you thinking of the band, Matt? What are you feeling right now?
You know what? I checked out their EP. It's pretty good. You know, I'm interested to see. There's a lot of information. You know,
it's true.
Don't want to spoil too much because we'll find out the information from
exactly.
him.
We're not no spoilers so, right here. We're not going to ruin anything for you guys.
Spoiler free zone.
But exactly. Spoiler free. But now for Ryan here, I don't know what type of music you listen to or anything like that. They're more of a I guess like an indie band. Would you say kind of like a '90s type of feel to it? Like kind of like those '90s classic.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like pop rock songs.
Yeah, I would call it pop rock, like just an alternative band kind of.
Yeah, so what do you listen to, Randy?
R&B, indie. I do listen to indie music. I like to listen to anything that feels good. You know?
Awesome. Yeah, anything with a good vibe to it.
Yeah, anything.
Awesome. So Randy, your new show coming up? What is that going to be about?
It's going to be a host of female hosts coming together. We're just going to talk about news, current events. Women topics, just I don't know, relationships, just anything.
So like general health topics. That's awesome. You know, always nice. Need one of those shows. You don't always need music shows. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like radio is a lot more, is much more. So that's coming on
Thursday mornings. It starts May 18th, so it's gonna be 8 a.m. A good morning show to wake you up.
Yeah, 8 a.m. I mean, I didn't even get up that early to get to work. Honestly, yeah, right. I'm like 8:30, and I'm like I'm already late at that point.
Right.
But well, welcome aboard.
Thank you
for coming in. You get the shout out. She's checking out the board, looking at all the inner secret workings of Radio Free Brooklyn right here. So what's going on, guys? Matt, I know you got some topics. I saw that homework. I saw it.
Yeah, I did my research. Well, one thing that I found interesting popped up on my TV the other day. Do you remember the Now albums?
Yes,
with the pops
Now,
of the year.
Like Now, that's what I call music, and
what
was like the Christmas Now. That's what I call Christmas albums.
Yeah. Well, I realized they have 62. Now 62.
62?
Well, I want to meet the person who has all 62.
That's what I understand. Do you think there is a man on this planet that owns all 62?
There has to be. Like, I would be so shocked if we couldn't find a person who had all 62 Now albums.
I mean, I look at it this way, because I remember when the first Now album came out, mm-hmm. I must have been, what, maybe like 8, 10? Like, I don't know how old you are, Ryan, but I'm almost 30. I'm pushing 30. I'm very, very pushing close it. To that 30-year-old mark. So I'm like, I remember when the first ones came out, it was like Backstreet Boys and maybe even, who was that band that sang like Ghetto Superstar and all that kind of stuff?
Man.
They had all these like crazy, and now it's like now 62. Like that makes that must mean because it's not one every year, right?
Yeah,
at that point, at this point, I'd be like in my 70s. I guess if Now 62 came out, so there must be multiple ones coming out every year.
Yeah, and like when did they come out? Because like last time I heard, probably like Now 18. Now we're up to 62. When did that happen?
I have no idea. And now I'm curious as to like what is on this album.
I have no idea.
So it's now 62 is the right?
Yeah, I think it's now 62.
All right, with a quick Google search.
Yeah, we'll figure this out.
Exactly. Let me go. Now 62. Because I used to have, I never really owned the Now music collection, but I did buy, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jock Jams.
No.
Which was like, it was kind of like in this, like the same kind of mold, but ESPN produced it in like Tommy Boy Records. And it was literally just like, it was pretty sick. It was like, if basically you were playing in the NBA, they had like the Michael Jordan like theme song. They had all these like sick, like if I was going to go play basketball, I put Jock Jams on. You know what I'm saying?
Bring that back.
It might actually be on Spotify too. Now 62. Yeah. It's got a, I mean.
You find it?
Oh yeah. Come on. You know Google has everything. Yeah, it's if anyone's interested, Now 62 is available at Target for $11.99.
Really?
Yes. It is. So it's a, I don't even know if that's a bargain anymore because who really buys music? Yeah, like really. I just pay the $10 a month for Spotify.
Yeah.
Right? And then next thing you know, I've been set probably for about, I don't know, 3 years now from Spotify because I was like, all right, I don't have to carry around like a CD library with me or always update my iPod, which always seemed to break.
Right. You know, once, I think it was, I don't know how long ago this was now, but maybe a few months, let's call it. I saw a guy, he just pulled out a CD player. I was like,
like an old Discman?
Like an old. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, where did you even get that from?
Where did you get it from?
Like, wow.
I remember.
I was slightly impressed.
You're impressed, but like, I remember having, my dad got me one of those old like Sony Discman.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like before there was like anti-skip. So basically, what would happen is, If you took it on the go and you just happened to touch the top of it, it would skip like five times. It would it would have to try to reload the laser. It would have to like realign and it would take forever. So it was like, it was the worst portable device I've ever seen. But they have since added the anti-skipping technology.
Okay. Wow. And they still make them?
They still
make disc layers?
I think you'll be surprised what they still make because I was in Best Buy about maybe about a month ago, and they actually had VHS head cleaners. So it's like this, the VHS tape you put in to clean the inside of it.
No way.
Yeah, and I was like, who was looking for that? Like, right? what 80-year-old woman is like, I got to clean the VHS player. Yeah. Let me go hit up Best Buy real quick and go get, you know, this cleaning cassette tape. Like, it made no sense to me. It
doesn't.
So they still exist. And just like this, I just found the, just brought it to my attention, I guess the track listing of Now, that's what I call music, 62. Wow. And I'm not one to be, hang on, this is actually really impressive here. Okay, if this is real, there are a bunch of, like, Kelly Clarkson's on here with Since You've Been Gone.
For Now 62?
Now 62, and I don't know much about Kelly Clarkson.
But that's an old song.
That's an old song. Okay, so that's weird. McFly is on here. My sister's a big fan of him.
McFly is on there?
McFly, I'll Be Okay. They got Hillary Duff, Wake Up.
Wow.
Elton John, Electricity.
Well, he never goes out of style.
No, very true. But but I feel like this is unusual. Coldplay is on here. Oasis, Black Eyed Peas, Pharrell Williams himself featuring Gwen Stefani.
What? That is...
This is amazing.
That is amazing.
We're going to have to come back to this.
Yeah.
But we got... We got Jonathan Cohen from Baggage in a little bit, so I kind of want to get back to their EP. It's already been released.
Yeah, but, it's been out.
Hey, so what? I'm pulling it up right now, ladies and gentlemen. Usually got Paul doing the all this grunt work.
All the grunt work.
Yeah, but not today. But the newer EP came out at the end of 2015, called Cheaper Than Therapy. The guys put this out for his friend, right? Because someone like an arson actually burned his house down in Michigan. So, which is a bizarre story really in and of itself.
Yeah, we got to find out more about that.
Exactly. So the first track on this album is actually called Flint.
Flint.
So I feel like that's a good place to start.
Yeah, let's start with that.
So you guys listen to The Stroll Show right here, Radio Free Brooklyn. We'll be back probably with the band in a few minutes. So enjoy this track.
I'm starting to feel safe, but I
All right, guys, welcome back right here to the Stroll Show. That was Flint by the band Baggage. We'll be calling in soon, and that's not to be confused, the band Baggage, with the show Baggage. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the the game show.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, this is a game show on GSN, specifically hosted by none other than Jerry Springer.
Of course, who else would host it?
Well, all right, and so now. Ryan, I don't know if you're familiar. Like, do you think the show is real? Because it's like a dating game show, right? And it's like three people that have various levels of baggage and a possible suitor trying to pick the best baggage for them.
Right. I feel like some of the, I guess, baggage items are a little extreme. I don't know. Right? I don't think it's real.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if it's real.
You know what? Like, I feel people are weird, but like some stuff is like really weird.
Really weird.
Like, not that this one's not going to be a weird example, but one guy said he can't sleep in a bed with another person. So like, even if he's married, he can't sleep in like the same, like, what is like, what? Well, that's an unusual thing, right? Is that not an unusual thing? And another guy, no, was it a woman? That she still lived with her ex-husband or something.
Wow.
So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. But enough about that baggage. I think we got Jonathan calling in right now from the real band Baggage. Hey, is this Jonathan?
Yep, this is. How you doing?
Good, Jonathan. You're here right here, Radio Free Brooklyn. Steve, we got my co-host Matt, and we have, I guess, a host in training in Ryan here. So you got a nice little trio to greet you today.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And, no problem.
Yeah, so we know, you know, of ex-Sweller fame, I guess, and you previously drummed for the Swellers, right? And now taking on this new band Baggage, you have taken from behind the drum kit to now lead singer, lead bassist.
Yep. It was pretty much, a lot of people don't realize that I wrote about, at least lyrically, half the songs for the Swellers. So it was always my brother and I, like, we were like the brains behind the songwriting and everything. So as time went on, I went from just initially being the drummer to I started singing back of vocals, and then it was literally half and half. So we would come to each other with the songs we each wrote, like, near the end of the band, and then that's what would make a full album. So when it went from just being the drummer, especially being the guy at the very back of the stage, covered by cymbals and all that kind of stuff.
Right, you're kind of hidden in the back.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot less stress, like, other than, like, physically, like, lifting all of your stuff and moving all of your stuff, whereas, like, a guitar player is like, got my amp, got my guitar, see you later, you know?
Right.
So I was always the guy that was, like, constantly putting stuff together, doing whatever, and then kind of, like, shoved in the back while everyone else was, you know, doing their thing. So making that transition to being at the front of the stage, like, bass player and singer, when I was at, like, when we were practicing and writing songs for the new band, I was like, oh, I got this. This is fine. And then the second I went on the stage and had to, like, look at people, I'm like, how do I stand? I thought about this.
What do I do with my hands, right? What do I do? What do I do?
Yeah,
that's
very literally.
Yeah, because it's a big transition going from the drum. Because like you're saying, because you're always covered, right? Because I'm a man. That's why we do radio, right? We hide behind microphones. We don't want to be cast into the public eye visually, right? Because, you know, we're voice for radio here.
Yeah, and we don't know what to do.
Exactly. So
you're all too good looking, and you don't want to, like, bump.
Exactly. We're too good looking to be seen, right? Because people will be very jealous, very controversial thing.
Exactly.
But, you know, because going from, like, the back, right? Because you're all tucked in behind the big bass drum, all that stuff, right? So you hit it, now it's like, so you kind of like, it's like a little safe zone, right? And then now you come out and, because you play bass, right? So now you're sitting there, everyone's looking at you, right? Because it's all kind of like Tupac, all eyes on me, right?
Yeah.
So how was that like, that first show? Were you just like, oh, now this is different?
Yeah. So I've been, like, not only have I been a drummer for more than half my life, but for a while, like, later on in the band too, I was writing a column for Noisy, which is, like, part of Vice, but their whole thing was, like, we want you to write about being a drummer and being on tour and blah, blah, blah. So I wasn't just the drummer, but I was, like, an advocate for how people should do this kind of stuff.
Oh,
so, like, I knew everything, even, like, working at Guitar Center in the drum section, like, my brain was, like, drum world, you know? And then the second our very first show, I made it in Chicago on purpose. I'm like, I want to prove that this band is going to be something, and we're not going to do a local show to start. We're going to go to Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So we played, and it was, like, a pretty big show. Like, we opened for our friend's band, and I was like, here we go. And we started playing, and we're like, yeah, this feels awesome. And then almost immediately, I was like, do I make eye contact with people? Do I look above the people? And I'm like, oh, boy. And I'm like, I feel like I'm, like, giving like a presentation to some class that I didn't prepare for. So I'm like, oh, whatever, it'll be fine.
Oh my God, I can't.
Little things. Oh, I was gonna say like the tuner pedal. That's one thing I never fully understood. So like, I was never that good at tuning guitars to begin with. I still barely know how to change strings, but I'm in a band with like a guitar tech. Like his job is like making stuff work.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
Like, can you do this?
Yeah, like, what do you do these strings here, man?
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, okay, so let's see what happens. And there's one song where I was like tuning between the song. And for those that don't know, when you hit the tuner, you mute yourself. So
right, yeah, I've seen that.
Silence.
Yeah, I guess I'm not a guitar tech myself, but I've seen like bands use that on stage, and I'm like, how come I don't hear anything coming from them? Like, I just see them looking down, and they're kind of just, you know, doing the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much that's like, it adds a level of professionalism, so when you're tuning, you don't hear, because when local bands do that, that's like gag-inducing for a lot of people. So I was like, okay, I got this. And then I remember our very last song, I was like, this is the big heavy one, like here we go. And we didn't even have like a count off. It was just like we look at each other and nod and then like go into it, which is the last song on that EP. And I'm like, here we go. And I forgot to like turn my tuner off. So it was just like silent, like and then the bass kicked in after. I'm like, I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, well, I blew that whole moment.
You know, you got to cough it up though to like first, you know, like first show jitters, you know, yeah. You're in like a new world altogether. So it's like, you're trying to figure out all that, you know, all the nuances of the instrument and all the machinery that's involved with it.
Yeah. Some people like that too. It's like, oh, look, it's kind of original. It's kind of different. We get to hear what's going on.
Yeah. Especially like, it's a different dynamic altogether. That's what I wanted to circle back to as well. Is like, cause so when starting Baggage, like, how did you play bass like on the side while playing drums, or it was just kind of something you picked up like along the way, or just was like, you know what, I think I can do that, and I kind of want to start fronting a band, kind of like Sting, I guess.
I was just like, one day I need to be Sting.
we could all be Sting,
right? Only
the tantric sex, everything.
You can make love for 8 hours.
Yeah, I mean, more than I already do, you know. So I got to the point where I was playing acoustic guitar a lot, and I lived in an apartment for 5 years, which is like pretty much a death sentence for any drummer, because the only time I could play drums is if I was at someone else's house. So my brother, who lived an hour from me, who was the singer of the Swellers, my drums were at his house, and then I had another kit in Flint at my buddy's house for my band Braided Veins. So I like for Braided Veins, I would practice by writing really complicated stuff just so I could drum and do whatever. So when I was in my apartment, like, I didn't have an electronic kit. I didn't have anything. So I was like, well, I'll plug into my computer and play my electric guitar and see what happens. And the more I did that, and I'm like, I think I'm writing my own songs. This is kind of cool. I'm like, all right. And then I like really had this moment of clarity where I was listening back and I'm like, I am not that good at guitar. But I'm great at bass. Because that's the, like, I mean, this is a terrible thing, and I'm sure it offends a lot of bass players, but, like, I started playing bass because I wasn't good enough at guitar. And I know there's a lot of people that are phenomenal and, like, have this crazy understanding of how bass playing works and how, you know, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But my version of it was, like, I like doing root notes and I want to sing, but I don't lose my sense of pride because I'm writing everything else, too.
Right, you can put more in than just, like,
the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... and then over time I've been like getting better and all that kind of stuff too. So like initially bass was an afterthought, but then I realized that because I've been drumming so long, like the whole rhythm section part of my brain, it made perfect sense because I was having the bass player lock in with me, like every kick drum hit, like that's when they would strum, like all these little things like that. So then I finally got to do that and I'm like, oh, I understand how to write solid stuff because I had my experience drumming. And then I even started writing songs like a drummer where it'd be like kind of weirder time signatures and that kind of stuff. So more so on the newer stuff than that EP. That EP was more of like, oh wow, I wrote 5 songs. Let's do it, you know?
And so let's talk a little bit about the EP as well, because that Cheaper Than Therapy, that came out the end of 2015, if I'm not mistaken. Right? I
think
right?
Yeah, it was December 2015.
Okay, so did that come from those like home studio recordings, or was this kind of like something you made a conscious effort? Like, you know, I want to get in studio, I want to get some musicians and try to, like, you know, hammer away at this, like, I guess, like frontman gig, you know, like kind of taking on a band of your own.
Yeah, so initially it was my friend Jacob and I, and we both worked at the Guitar Center together, and we both really liked the band Sparta. And we were like at the time, so I always call it punk rock guilt, where with the Swellers, pardon me,
That's okay.
With the Swellers, we had this past of playing super fast punk rock music. And over time, we would have this weird disconnect where we're like, well, we have to have another fast song because that's what people want, blah, blah, blah.
Right, people got to mosh and all that stuff.
Like, the more I did it, like, eventually I just wanted to just disassociate myself. Like, I wanted to just experiment and try something different. So I was like, okay, let's just do kind of straightforward stuff. So I got a few of my friends together, two of the guys I worked with, and then my buddy Dan. We all just started jamming, and I was like, here are my, like, crappy GarageBand demos, like, from my, like, app on my computer. So I was like, let's see what we can do with it. But then the cool thing, and not a lot of people realize this, so where we recorded the last Swellers album, it's a studio called Rancho Recordo in Fenton, Michigan, and that's where Taking Back Sunday, Against Me, Saves the Day, like, a bunch of rad bands recorded there, so that's where Swellers did our last one. And it was right, like, that was in our hometown. Like, I grew up in Fenton, Michigan, so we were like, this is bizarre. And Mark Hudson, the dude that owns the studio, is one of my really good friends, so he was like, I'll help you with the baggage stuff, because I know your band just broke up and you want to do this. And he also did Braided Veins, my other band, so I've recorded three different bands with him. And so he recorded the EP for us, and it was more of like, hey, let's just get this out, let's just do it super raw, no auto-tune, no nothing, you know? And that, to me, that was like such a flip from what I was used to, where it was like, oh, we'll fix it in the computer, we'll do this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I want to sound like I would sound.
Right.
And I don't want to have anything helping me cheat, because that won't help me get better. And I feel like when you see, like, I'm sure, like, you guys have seen bands that are just terrible live or just feel lackluster or whatever. The reason that is because they're so reliant on good recording, they don't get better themselves. So this whole experience, at least to start, was me pushing myself to learn how to write songs, how to record songs properly, and how to just get better as a musician and a vocalist.
Wow. I mean, I respect that completely. As a non-musician as I am, as I failed miserably trying to play guitar, just saying with too many strings, right, and all this stuff, and like bass. So I definitely respect that, like that drive and that determination to kind of like push yourself to new boundaries and kind of like, listen, I may fail, or I don't know how this is going to turn out, but you know what? I'm going to give it my all. And I respect that. I mean, I really commend that kind of work ethic, because we could all have something like that, you know?
Right.
But I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, and but so the EP itself, we're doing some doing a little homework before the show, and me and Matt found out that, like, so you put this EP out because your friend's house burnt down? Like, how did that whole story come about?
Okay, so it's kind of a two-sided thing. The reason that EP was being written was more of like, my band broke up, my body was like my knees and like all the stuff in my body were just kind of like going bad. Like, pretty much post Swellers, all of the stuff in my life was kind of falling apart. And I'm like, this sucks. So I was like, I need to do something to like fix where my head's going, because I really don't like it. So I quit working at Guitar Center and I was like, okay, I'm going to focus on writing. I was doing like studio drumming stuff, or like traveling with, like, I did like a few tours of random bands just for money kind of thing, like a hired gun. But I was like, but what I want to do is be a songwriter. That's my number one thing. So I'm like, I'm going to start this band. So the reason it's called Cheaper Than Therapy is because that was my like very literal therapeutic relief, where I'm like, every time I worked on those songs, every time I played with my friends, that's what made me feel good. So the songs are all just different ways of venting about different things. So like all of that was like coming to fruition. And then there's this guitar builder that I wrote a story about for Noisy, and he lives in Flint. And then he just bought this like awesome historical house downtown, and some asshole set it on fire, and almost the whole thing burned to the ground.
Wow.
So if you look at the album cover, that is the burned house, like the damaged house.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And I told him, I was like, I know this sounds weird, but would we be able to take photos of this? And he was like, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess it'd be cool to document. So I got the dude that used to play bass in the Swellers back in the day. He's an awesome photographer now. His name's Lance Nelson. And he took all the photography for the album and like stuff inside the house, like all this kind of stuff. And we started conceptualizing. We're like, okay, this is bizarre that this is kind of like a metaphor for like the broken down burnt house is like how I feel. So I'm like, that's kind of bizarre. And then Cheaper Than Therapy, it's like, okay, well, this is kind of like giving back to me. Maybe we could give back to someone else. So then all of these like everything like lined up in place in my head, and I was like, let's just donate the money to the guy whose house burned down, this guy Ron Luksak. So we're like, okay, that makes sense. So I think we raised like $500 or something for him, and it was literally a $5 suggested donation EP when it came out.
Oh wow!
I was
wow.
like, you can get it for free, or you can choose to do this. And we had that many people like donate, and they're super cool. So it didn't do like in retrospect, like he ended up getting like some new windows and stuff like that. But it's one of those things where he wouldn't have had that cushion if we didn't even try to help, you know?
Right.
And yeah. I started thinking about it, and I'm like, whether you're in a band or whether you have any means or connections or whatever, there's literally no reason to not help someone else. So all you have to do is put your mind to it and promote something, and you could get a bunch of people coming together out of nowhere that would raise money that wouldn't be there otherwise. So that was kind of like the foundation of what we wanted this band to be about. So not only was it like self-help, which I feel like a lot of people do now, and like I go on this big rant lately about how I feel like a lot of bands like fetishize, there we go, sadness.
Got it.
And they just are waking up reading bad news and like all this, you know, like life is a bummer, let's write about it, but then we'll cash in on that.
Right.
My version is, these are the things that are wrong. This is how I fix them, or I'm currently working on them to make myself feel better. Hey, maybe I can help you too. So when people hear the songs, maybe they're like, I relate to this, that's cool. Or we're like, we're very literally going to donate to a charity. So so far in the band, we played one show in Flint, and we got a whole van full of clothes, and I think it was mostly just clothes for like a drug rehab center.
Oh,
and it was like right down the street. So we're like, oh, that actually worked out really well. Like that was like 40 bags or 50 bags worth of stuff. So we're like, okay, that's cool. And then we went from that. So we did funding for Planned Parenthood from our stuff. We did stuff for the ACLU. And then most recently, we were actually filming a new music video, and we ended up getting a whole van full of cases of water, and we donated that to a church in Flint that hands out water to all the like local neighborhoods and stuff. So the EP was very much like, this is the foundation for what you could do with your band. And moving on forward, sonically or thematically or whatever, there's so much room to grow, which is super exciting because it's technically been 2 years since we even recorded that.
Wow. I mean, you guys sound like the equivalent of like the American Red Cross of bands. Like,
yeah,
you're
right.
Kind of going in, sending like a release mission. And that's really good to hear, because you hear a lot of bands that usually, like, they'll preach mental health, you know, awareness, and they'll provide links and stuff. But, you know, in the end, you're kind of like, is it just because it's like a passing phase? Or, you know, mm-hmm. there's like people...
I got to, because I'm a band. We have to, you know, help
right.
people.
And, you know, so it's like, is it really, are they really for, or are they just bringing awareness? Like, you don't really know what the angle is. But
yeah.
at least in your guys' case, it's really just kind of like, listen, if the music speaks to you in that way and helps you through a tough situation, it does. It's like, but if that doesn't connect, we're also just going to connect to the community as well,
mm-hmm.
and donate funds and you know, any means we can, because we've all heard the news. And so I kind of wanted to get to was in Flint, Michigan, the whole mm-hmm. the whole water crisis, right? The whole like dirty water or like the pollutants in the water. And I was kind of curious
yeah.
now, because like you're from the area and around Michigan over there. Like what has been going on? Because like we've heard in the news about a couple months ago, or maybe up to a year ago now, but you never get the follow up, right? You get the initial shock value story,
mm-hmm.
and you never get like, okay, what steps have been taken? What precautions are now going to place? Like, so I haven't heard any updates on it. So
yeah.
I want to know what's the status like up
mm-hmm.
there right now.
Yeah, so kind of going back, I think it was about 3 years ago now, and a few things were happening. First, Flint the leadership decided that it'd be better to get water from the Flint River instead of Detroit, because it would be cheaper. So the Flint River is a very corrosive, strange, like pretty much like we always joked about how like you would find like heroin needles and dead bodies. So when kids are joking about that, why the hell would the government be like, you know what, let's drink that. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That'll save us like $200. And the funny thing is, in the grand scheme of things, it really didn't save much, but it saved some. And that's how people like that work. So what ended up happening was all of the pipes were lead pipes. And Flint is an old city, so all of the pipes were getting corroded by the water going through, and it was shooting out all the stuff in the pipes into the water. So it wasn't just the water itself, it was the combination of a few things. So people were getting Legionnaires' disease, which is really messed up, and then lead poisoning in general, which actually affects the developmental, like, so especially for kids. So let's say, like, a lot of kids would get, like, ADD or different disorders because of the water they were drinking and being raised on. Animals were getting sick. People were getting sick. Like, all of this stuff was going on. So obviously once, like, the whistleblowers happened and, like, people started seeing literal yellow or brown water, jeez, that's when they were like, okay, this will get on the news, whatever. But you guys know how it is. Like, when something's on the news, you really care for about a week, you know,
right,
unless
shelf
it
life.
Keeps being on the news. So with all this stuff going on, it started out as like, oh my God, we need to help. Let's throw a bunch of water at them. But it's like, if you got shot and someone kept throwing Band-Aids at you, it could only do so much. You right, know what I mean? Like, you have to take the bullet out. So what was happening over time was people kept donating water and talking about donating water and blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, Nestle, the water company, is making deals with Michigan to get cheaper water out of there and, like, all this crazy stuff that's not actually helping any of the people that live here. So there were people profiting off of what was going on. And that's not, like, weird conspiracy theory stuff. That's just how the government works,
it's
you know?
Just, it's the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all this, like, terrible stuff's going on. And then the city gave people filters for their sinks, and they donated a case of water a week, that kind of thing. So as time went on, it was kind of just like, well, we're used to being uncomfortable and life sucks, but I guess that's just how it is. And that's how everyone started feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's what people on the news started feeling. So what ended up happening is I'd turn on the news and be like, let's say CNN or whatever, and they'd be like, oh, this city in Arkansas is the next Flint, Michigan, blah, 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 coming up next. And then I'd just be sitting there, I'm like, but you didn't fix Flint. Flint's still exactly how it was when it started. So what's going on is there's people that are donating water, and there's people that are, like, you know, they're literally living off of bottles of water. That's how it works there. And after we did the video, to kind of put it in context, we got, like, all the cases of water, and we dropped it off at this church, which was, keep in mind, I spent hours trying to find a place to donate water. And everyone's like, oh, we're not really accepting stuff anymore, but you can try this and blah, blah, blah.
Really?
So I finally found this church in Flint that was super nice. Yeah. So keep in mind, it's hard to do it. So, like, you can't, it's not even easy to help. So I'm like, this is insane.
So
I finally
so
go to this place.
To right?
Yeah. And there's, like, this big semi-truck, and then these, it's almost like a little, like, makeshift drive-through thing in the parking lot of a church where people show up and they get a case of water, they get a bag full of, it was like tuna, peanut butter, bread, like random stuff, and then toiletries. So, like, we are dropping the water off, and I'm like, I mean, we're, like, I explained to the people, I'm like, we just raised this whatever, but I'm like, what do you really need? Because I know it's not just water. And they're like, yeah, we're super good on the water thing. We don't even need that anymore. Wow. But we do need toiletries. We need, like, baby wipes. We need diapers. We need all this kind of stuff. Because, like, that's the stuff that people would use water on, like, to clean and to, like, actually wash. Like, the showers are messed up. People forget that. It's not just the food. It's not just drinking. It's every time you shower, every time you're making food, every time you wash your hands. Like, all of this stuff is bad all the time. So the number one thing they said was toiletries and all this kind of stuff. So pretty much to put it, I guess, in closing, it's very much a dot, dot, dot at the end of it. There is no end in sight. So the federal government raised, I think it was like $140 million or whatever, and like Obama signed it off right before he was out of office. And all that's going to do is like hopefully help the pipe infrastructure, because that's the only way you could fix it. You have to change all of the pipes downtown Flint.
Right.
So that's, which is crazy. So that's going to take at least 5 to 10 years. So people are going to be living exactly how they are for that long still.
Wow. But now, so how do you take a shower then? Like, because you're not going to be dumping like bottles of like Poland Spring water on your head. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to take a nice hot shower. I don't want to be, you know, living like a third world country here.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what people do. They just say, and it's not, they don't rinse with the bottled water. They just go, eh, screw it. And then they use the water that they're given.
Oh.
So like, Steven that sings in my band Braided Veins, him and his girlfriend were like, yeah, like we take showers and it stings a little bit every time, but that's just what you do because you don't have another option, you know?
That's insane.
And like they've lived in Flint forever too, so it's like that's how people are now. They they've had, it's just kind of how society works, where either people get numb to things being so bad. It's like gas prices. You're like, I'm never paying $5 for gas. And then it stays $5 for a week. You're like, well, I got to get gas anyway, whatever, you know, like that's just how we're wired.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, with this whole thing, we're like, I'm still trying to like raise awareness for Flint. And, I don't know if you guys saw the stuff, but we did, there's a compilation we put together called Not Safe to Drink. And we had, it ended up being 80 bands, including, it was like Taking Back Sunday, Propagandi, Craig from Chiodos, King 810, like a crazy list of bands, a bunch of bands on like Sidewind Dummy, stuff like that.
Oh,
and we ended up raising, I think it was $8,000 for the, wow. It was the Flint Child Health and Development Fund. And that's the fund that was, it's flintkids.org. That's the place that ended up getting like, I think it was like $10 million worth of donations in the last year.
Wow.
And, but when you get too many donations, you just sit on money. Like there's no direct, like you don't get to fix anything. Like you slowly start donating into schools and whatever and blah, blah, blah. So even that, like in retrospect, like it did stuff for people, which is cool, but like you still don't see a direct result, you know? So that's why like, moving forward, and especially with the new video we're about to release, a lot of this is very much like, hey, Flint is still this way. Like, you need to pay attention, you know?
Exactly. I mean, you guys run around like you're like the super, like this like band of superheroes going up there, just kind of like these vigilantes. They're trying to make sure everyone's like living, like, you know, like humans. I can't
Can't
wrap my head around this because it seems like, I mean, I don't know how much time we have left to really go along, but like, I feel like, you know, like as a country, like we seem to be steering towards like big cities, right? It'd be kind of like, oh, in New York City or in LA or Chicago, but like other countries in the Midwest, like look at Detroit, right? That city decimated by people leaving. And I can only imagine Flint, like people must be, I mean, you have to move or you have to leave your own hometown, right? Just to live to a higher standard of living.
Yeah. And it's so crazy. The news only ever covers like things that they think people want to hear, like, oh, the Kardashians, another baby. It's like, no, we got to hear about the people who are in our country that need our help.
Exactly. And you're not too, Flint is, you know, just a hop and a skip away. I can't understand how it's been so neglected to this point. It's beyond me.
But my like argument with that whole thing, though, is there is proof that people don't care about news like that because that's how Americans are. So if you look at like other news networks overseas, that's why people are so connected with everything going on. But here, it's people are choosing to watch the Kardashians, and like there's the actual tangible information of them caring more about that than about, you know, cities going on, because it's just bad news. But what about like a squirrel riding a skateboard? Like, oh, man, let's watch that on YouTube. And they're like, oh, people are dying here. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Flip channel, you know?
Yeah, because you're always hoping someone else is going
to
take care of it.
Yeah, because no one ever feels that connected to it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know anyone in Flint, so what, you know, they'll take care of it. But you don't know. You really don't know. And you look, and you're trying to help, and people are turning away donations. Like, we're going to have the money, but we can't allocate funds. We could take the water, but we're good on water. But deep down, you're not good at water. You know, you're still struggling for people. You know, people are hurting themselves just by trying to clean themselves. You know what I'm saying? It's like bizarro world. I can't wrap my head around this.
Exactly.
But so the funny thing is that you brought up the whole superheroes thing. So my whole outlook on this is this isn't us trying to toot our own horn and being like, look how good we are. It's very much saying, you can do this too. Please do it too. Because if everyone did this kind of thing in their own town, and I'm just like some random schlub in a band that like used to do stuff with another band, like I have no actual authority or power over anything. But the second I start bringing people together, especially in the music world, that are younger and care, or that are younger and should care, that's how you start getting more people paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So like with all this being said, I got this weird fascination into reading comics, like I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago now. And I grew up like, you know, obviously liking like the superhero cartoons and all that kind of stuff. But there's this weird escape for a reality I have lately where not only am I just being like, oh, I'm like dumbing my brain down, blah, blah, blah. But I'm thinking in my head, like this stuff was written because the people writing this stuff cared that much. And they're kind of like teaching people lessons, you know, where it's like, I mean, and again, like, I don't know about your political affiliations or whatever, but like you look at Lex Luthor and you look at our president and you look at like this stuff going on where it's like people like me are just sitting here shaking their head like, what the hell is going on? And And, like, I feel guilty because I'm not the one that's, like, I haven't really, like, called my senators and I haven't, like, you know, done stuff. I've been to protests and stuff like that, but, like, I'm still afraid to do certain things that make a real difference, you know?
Right.
And that's me talking, and I'm Mr. Advocating for this kind of stuff. Exactly. So I feel like there has to be some big social change, whether it's, like, just stimulating people in the music world that wouldn't care otherwise, or, you know, the bigger picture stuff, just so everyone starts caring again.
Right, because I feel like everyone's kind of like picking and choosing now. Like when the media, I was talking to Matt about this, and like people are like picking and choosing which news articles they want to read, right? Mm-hmm. Or like because they'll gravitate towards something that they agree with. Like oh, like let's say just for like argument's sake, oh, Russia had some sort of you know they were tampering with votes and everything. So people are like I agree with that. I'm going to read that, and then you'll have another conflicting source that wasn't true. So people are just going to believe what they believe, and you're kind of left in this gray area where like I don't know the truth really. Like I feel. As much as I want to believe one way or another, but like there's too many strong conspiracy theories pulling you both ways that you're like, there's got to be some underlying middle ground where people can kind of come together. And honestly, things like this, like a Flint, Michigan, like this is a real change. Like you can actually make right. Like the government, like, I don't know how much we can protest. I don't know how much you can do before it doesn't before it's like a total uprising, right? Whatever like that, because everyone's just so people are passionate, and I believe that, and I'm just trying to. Like something for good, you know what I'm saying? Like people being angry and rioting, like I don't think that does that doesn't go for good because then the media is going to paint you as like oh these aggressors, these bullies, they're violent. They just wanted to they want violence. But in a case like Flint, Michigan, giving water, helping people, like to me that shows more positive change than you know than like yelling. I don't know. I'm trying to. It's like a weird way. Like there's times for the boisterous protests, but I think more good comes from like something in your hometown. Just like. I'm going to get water.
I feel like a big thing is good comes from conversation and understanding and listening. So, and keep in mind, like, I'll admit, I, like, was a very stubborn person. Like, I, like, grew up in punk rock, and, like, I believed my things, and if you didn't believe it, like, you're an idiot. Like, that's how I thought. Like, not exaggerating, and a lot of us do. So I got to the point where I was like, okay, I really need to think about this. And I, like, especially like after Swellers broke up and I was like kind of in my own head way more and I started like paying attention to more like social activists and stuff like that. And I'm not talking about like someone in the lunchroom, like, why are you doing this? Like not that kind of social activist, but I'm talking about like people that are like, listen, I want you to read this and make your own opinion on this. And this, and I'm talking to you. I'm not yelling to you. And it's not like an MSNBC or a Fox News where it's like 10 people just screaming at each other. It's like a conversation, and it's like the more you have conversations with people that know what they're talking about, and again, I'm not saying I know what I'm talking about, but I'm saying I'm choosing to listen to people on either side, or very, instead of that, screw that, people that are just telling the truth, because I don't care about your opinion on something, I care about the thing that's happening, and as an adult and a developed brain person, like I feel like I'm able to do that too, you know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I hate to kind of wrap this up because I like where we're going with this because we only got a few minutes left. But Jonathan, thank you for your time. Thank
you
for calling into Radio Free Brooklyn. And I just want to go. So what's next for the band for Baggage? I know you guys had the EP that came out late 2015, but what you guys got? So I know you got the music video in the works. You're playing Bloodfest. Are you got any like new music coming out soon? Like a new album, maybe first full album?
So. Right now, the order of stuff coming out is the Half Full video. That song is released on Music for Everyone, which is an ACLU benefit compilation. So if you can find that at musicforeveryone.bandcamp.com. Bands like Taking Back Sunday, Anthony Green, a bunch of people are on it. So that's really rad. And the music video is going to be super good. It's very much like, hey, like I don't, if you look at our social media, you'll start seeing treat people like people again. And that's very much the vibe of the video. And it's super powerful, and I'm really excited for it. So that's coming next. We're playing Bloodfest in Michigan, which is a huge thing, which is super fun. And that's going to be this band's first time ever playing that, so I can't wait. And then we're actually going on tour. The band Candy Hearts from New York.
Oh, yeah,
they changed their name to Best X. And we're touring with them and Promise of Redemption, which is Shane from Valencia's new band.
Oh, shoot.
And we're doing pretty much Chicago to New York and back. So if you go to baggageband.com/tour, you'll see those tour dates on there as well. And then as far as more new music, we have a bunch of new demos. We've been shopping the labels and stuff like that. But we're kind of at the point now where we're like, we might just release some songs and just say screw it because the music industry is so dumb anyway now.
Exactly. Might as well take it all to your own hands now.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for calling in.
It was great having you.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we learned a lot today.
Yeah. I think we might have to have you back. There's so much to talk about.
I really think so, too. We could do like a two-parter on this.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. We'll take
it. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
And not a problem. Have a good day, right?
Yeah.
You too. Take care.
All right. Oh, guys. That was Jonathan from Baggage, formerly the Swellers.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty in-depth.
That was.
I'm going to say that was deep. I did not expect that depth on the show on this Sunday.
Right, me neither.
I was unbelievable.
Yeah, that conversation just took off. It's like I had so many questions that I didn't even have to ask because we just had a great conversation.
Yeah, he was just, I feel like he was answering questions we were thinking as he was going.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very, very well spoken. Yeah, very, very nice, Jonathan.
Have on. Yeah, you should definitely have him back.
I think we could have kept going. Like, I was like, there's so many things I want to say, but
right?
I'm looking at this clock and we got to do our own clowny stuff on this side of the mic. So I was like, I got your email, Jonathan. We'll hook you up again.
We'll get you back.
Yeah, I want to play a song, but like I feel like we don't have enough time. I mean, We'll play out. So usually, let me just do a little. Read the a little decree of Radio Free Brooklyn. If you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, if you guys like what you've heard, the interviews, you know, we have hours and hours of unique programming throughout the week, and you know, we require a little something.
Yeah, you know,
we don't pocket this money. We just we put it back into what we present to you. We bring you bands, we bring you fundraising events, we bring you like house shows, things like that. So, Steve, you're going to ask me, right? You're like, Steve, how do I donate that money, man?
Steve, I'm
like,
listen, tell us.
I'll tell you. You go right to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com /pledge. Mm-hmm. You go there to Patreon page. You donate, you know, $1, $5, $10. And depending on the increments of money you donate, you get like T-shirt, hoodie, mugs, handshakes. We give it all away, baby. Yeah. We give it all away. So just go check that out. And we thank you, as always, for donating.
And just so... is, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, where can I listen to this? You know, go back to Radio Free Brooklyn. You can find all the episodes there. I know SoundCloud, you put it out too, right, Steven?
We got SoundCloud for the Stroll Show at the Stroll Show BK. Mm-hmm. Then that's across all social media platforms because I'm so ironclad like that.
Yeah.
I got the Facebook Stroll Show BK, Twitter, Instagram, also Audio Boom, all the other Radio Free Brooklyn channels. So you go check that out. And you really could be listening for hours and hours because there's so much content.
You know, as you're working,
the content we produce, ladies and gentlemen.
Just keep listening.
So now we're moving on back to the Stroll Show right here.
Back to Stroll Show.
Usually at the end of the episode, we like to do an oh shit moment of the week.
Oh shit!
And usually we beatbox such an event, but I think we will save listenership.
Yeah, well,
my beatboxing skills are not strong. My friend Nick usually he beatboxes pretty well.
Yeah,
I still got to get that clip from him. I need him to give me that freestyle.
Need some audio
and we just go like, oh shit.
Oh shit!
And now we're in it. Now we're in the oh shit moment.
We're there.
And I know you had an oh shit moment.
I had an
oh
shit moment.
I know you did the homework. We talked about your homework.
Homework? Yeah, I do a lot of homework. So my oh shit moment. So you know, I feel like this is kind of a standard. A lot of people go through it. You live in New York. You're taking the subway all the time, and you're like, you have your stand. You know, I'm going to get on the train. I know my train. It's kind of second nature.
Right.
So I was waiting. I'm coming home from work, and I'm standing there. Like the train came. It's like, okay, that's not my train. The next train came. Like, I have to get on that D train. And so I see it. And the sign, it's like, oh, okay, that looks like a D. It's dirty. I can't tell. And, you know, I listen to music because why would I not?
Because you just kind of like, you shuffle through.
Yeah, you just shuffle around. You just move along. Yeah. And, like, you know, I thought I heard the D train. I'm like, oh, I'll hop on. I'm going same route. Everything's good. I get back to Brooklyn. We stop at a different stop. I'm like, all right, this is weird. Maybe the train's different route. Then we get to the next stop. I'm like, okay, everything's the same. Then we're at another stop. I'm like, okay, this is not right. Yeah. My train does not go this way. And then another stop. Okay, I'm definitely on the wrong train. And I'm thinking maybe the D train became the F train. I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. I could get home from here. And so I'm like, you know what? Let me call my dad. He'll pick me up because he's always in the clutch like that.
Big Frank out there.
Papa Frank. He's listening, I hope. Maybe. Probably not.
I know Frank's listening. He's got his ear to the ground on all underground radio stations.
He knows. He always knows. And so I'm like, all right, I'll give him a call. Tell him, like, hey, dad, I'm on the F train. Can you get me? The guy next to me is like, no, you're on the B train. I'm like, what? Like, no.
Wait a second.
This is the F train. I'm looking at the map. It's like, no, it's the F train. He goes, no, same route. I'm like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. That's an OSHA moment.
Now I'm going to be far from home. And like,
it's just an inconvenience now on everybody.
Yeah.
That's happened to me once because like, same thing, coming out of work, taking the D train and the B and the D. Because like the B train, I think at least the letter looks a little cleaner than the D train one. I don't know if that's like, is that intended by the MTA? It's like, you know what? We won't differentiate too much with these two similar letters in the same color. But
I just wasn't thinking, you know. I'm just kind of like on my phone, like we all kind of are these days. I'm just like shuffling through the day. I'm just gonna go boop 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 right on the train.
There we go.
Laying, sitting down, maybe close my eyes. Next thing I wake up and I'm just like, this is not. I don't know where I am anymore. And I look and I'm like, oh shit, the B train. I'm like, what? Like where did I go wrong? So then I had to take a train all the way. I think I take it all the way back to Coney Island and then hop on the D train and come all the way back. It was a mess. Yeah, but
that's the problem. You get on the wrong train, you end up in a quote totally different part of New York.
No, it really is, because and you think about like the last like week or two taking the train, like you know, right? It's like everything's been messed up, right?
Yeah,
it's like you take the train.
Tell me about it.
The train's going out of service. Like you look at Atlantic Avenue. I don't know if you're familiar with the stop, and you go there, and it was like 5,000 people just standing on a platform because a couple of trains, like one train had lost power. A couple weeks ago.
Don't
and it's like when anything like that happens in this city, because we don't appreciate the MTA when they do things on time.
Right.
Because we're just like, that's just what it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
But the second something goes wrong, we're all like, wait a sec. Like, yo, MTA sucks, right? Like, they're shuffling millions of people around. And now I'm standing next to a bunch of people just like, you know, they all got big bags, right? Because everyone has to have big bags when you sit next to them. And you're just like, I'm all squeezed together and I'm not claustrophobic, but instantly becoming claustrophobic. Yeah. And I'm just like,
you're just getting anxious.
Well, I hear a lot about terrorism lately. And I'm like, what's up with, is that now? Is this happening now? Like,
what's happening?
You always assume the worst, right? Yeah. I don't want to be doom and gloom, but you know, when you're stuck in like an aluminum tube
on the ground, it's like, what's going to happen?
You know what I'm saying? Like, where are you going to go?
Nowhere to go, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I'm just like, well, whatever happens, I'm just enjoying this ride, right?
It's like, oh, can't do anything about it.
So that's, thank you, MTA. Thank you.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Shout out to MTA.
Yeah, but they got the new
the New York ferry, yeah.
The ferry. I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for that, too.
Yeah, and I know one's going out of, is it Rockaway?
Yeah, it's coming out of everywhere. It's coming out of like Astoria, Bay Ridge. So, you know, you could catch it a lot of places, and I think it's the same price as a subway fare.
I may do that because Ryan, we live down in like Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn, kind of Coney Island. And where are you from?
I live in Bushwick.
You're right here. Okay, good. Because I was worried that like maybe you should come from too far, but that's not too bad. It's a little walk. So you know, I do drive here, but you know, the train. I actually don't know where I was going with this, but like the ferry service now, I think is a good move, because I like. I've always wanted to own my own boat. Not that I think that'll ever happen. You know, I look on Craigslist for free boats.
Free boat, eBay.
And
we'll get to that.
That's also another donation, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to you got to contact me privately. Slip into my DMs on those. But you know, that's like the ferry service. Now it's like I can take a boat to work.
Yeah,
like that's just a new thing.
It's funny. It's like all these years in New York City, it's like, oh wait, we have a waterway.
Exactly. Like we were just surrounded by water on all sides. Yeah. Manhattan. It's called Manhattan Island.
Yeah,
for a reason, right? So we got the water. Thank you, Mayor de Blasio, for your generous support.
Well, you're one good contribution.
His one good contribution to the tri-state area. I had another oh shit moment. I don't know if it was really oh shit worthy, but it was just it was more music related. And it was this past week, I think May 4th. And now it's like the Star Wars Day, which I don't know why that every day is a holiday now.
Everything's
a every day. We're just like, woo, donut day, pizza day, bagel day. Right? Everything's a day. But on May 4th, a couple years ago, MCA passed away from the Beastie Boys, from he had cancer. And I realized that was maybe, what was that, 2012? It's actually right here. They have a MCA day. But I know he passed away about 4 years ago. And I just couldn't, I was very, you know, I just thought, wow, that's, I remember when that happened. And I was like, oh, I'll never get to see him in concert. And I was just like, and now it's been like 4 or 5 years. So,
like, oh, shit.
A little respect. It's all shit. You know, it's like a pour one out for him. Oh, shit.
Pour one out.
So, but MCA, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
That's why I just couldn't believe that was happening. So,
right.
Just the time just flies by these days.
It really does.
Just like this episode, we got about 3 minutes left.
Wow.
As promised, I was gonna play a baggage song.
Yeah,
to walk us out here. And I just want to thank you guys for joining me today in studio, Matt, for coming to co-host.
Thank you for having me.
Ryan coming here, learning the board, having her own show. This coming Thursday, 8 a.m.
The 18th, next Thursday.
18th. Okay, so because this is the last. Is this the last week of the season 4? Yeah,
season 5 starts May 15th.
Okay, you guys are listening to the conclusion, almost the conclusion of the next season. This will be our second full season here. So I've been here about a year now.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're happy to have you aboard.
Oh, thank
I'm glad you got to join us. Because like yesterday when you messaged me, I was at a communion, and then my phone died, and I was like, oh, shoot. And then I was like, then Matt was coming in, and he's like, new. And I'm like, I was like, you know what? I was like, let's just do it. Let's make it happen. Well, thank you for coming. Thank you for taking the time.
Great.
Because I know, you know, it's Sunday. It's kind of early, and you were here with Joe and everybody before. So I just want to thank you. And then one last thing to my boy, Vinny, all the way up in the UK, who's moving back to Brooklyn. Vinny, I ask you one question and one question only, and I always know the answer. But Vinny, you up, bro?
You up, bro?